Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Harbor is our special guest and our friend. He has over 25 years of sales experience and also management and training with both products and services. As a sales trainer and coach, he has assisted a wide range of individuals and companies, including salespeople, technical support people, managers, professionals, and business owners as well. He is part of the Sandler Training Institute, which we'll get him to tell us about a little bit later on. Jack, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Good to have you with us. And we're talking about salesmanship today, right?
I hope so.
Is it politically correct anymore to say salesmanship? I hope so.
As opposed to?
Salespersonship? I don't know.
I try to use salesperson in the class, but I think salesmanship is the only word I know how to say.
I know. I mean, I've never had anyone to give me a hard time about that.
Oh, neither have I.
But I would like to think that no one would do that. I mean, that's taking PC a little bit too far. But anyway, we're talking about salesmanship. We're talking about how to do a better job in your sales effort, either you or your sales staff, whether it be one person or 100 people. And of course, that's what you do for a living, isn't it, Jack?
That is indeed.
You train people how to be more successful in sales. What you got on your mind today?
That's up to you. You took me a little surprised by that question.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I know that you guys talk about at the Sandler Institute is you've got some rules that you go by.
Yes. Sandler was famous. David was famous for creating a rule for every situation.
One of the things that I know that I've seen that you guys have talked to people about is the importance of not spilling the candy in the lobby. Now, what do you mean by that?
That's an interesting analogy. A lot of times, in order to get a client interest, the salesperson tells the prospect all about the features and benefits and what they do and how good they are and how many years they've been doing it and what the alternatives are. And effectively, at the end of that interaction, the client has everything they want, all the information, and the salesperson has nothing. So the idea is to go into the theater, get the movie started, get the interaction going, and then distribute the candy as it's needed to keep the conversation going and keep the prospect interested.
Well, yeah, and the thing is what you've done is when you do that, if you make that mistake, is you have told your customer or your prospect some information before they were ready to digest it, before they were ready to eat it, to use your candy analogy, before they were ready to eat it, and it won't have nearly as much impact as if you found out what they needed, identified a need, and were able to get them to admit that if they had a solution to this need, that they would be ready to do business, then you give them the candy.
That's absolutely right. Sales is a rifle shot business, not a shotgun business.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that I talk about when I do sales training is I try to get my audience to imagine this new salesperson. And I call it unloading the dump truck. Instead of using the candy technique, I call it unloading the dump truck. And what I say is, okay, you got this new salesperson, and the first thing you do is you take them in the training room, and you sort of raise the top of their head up. And you back a dump truck full of every kind of information imaginable about the industry, about the company, about the product, about the colors, the pricing, the delivery schedule, the product of the month, all that stuff. And you just dump all that in their head, and then you close the top of their head back up, put the lid back on their head. You pop them on the butt, and you send them out to the marketplace, and you say, all right, now go sell something. And, of course, as you know, what most of these people do, if that's what the training has involved, when they get to the office, they raise their head up and they dump the dump truck load of stuff back on the customer's desk, don't they?
That's absolutely. That's what they're most familiar with.
Yeah.
A fair amount of my training is done for technical people or people who have a lot of technical training, like for example, accountants or architects. And it is very difficult for them to stop that because they've spent a lot of years studying that. It doesn't even just have to be a salesperson whose head is opened up for a week.
Right. Exactly. One of the things another thing that I like to point out, instead of the dump, to show the other end of the spectrum of the dump truck analogy, is, you know, if imagine a surgeon when a surgeon is operating, he or she has got all this capability laying on trays all around him or her. And he only asks for exactly what he needs at that moment.
That's a very good example.
And he sticks his hand out, and somebody pops it in his hand or her hand, and they use it and they give it back to him. And that's the way you should do with your sales on your sales call, is find, as you said, the rifle shot. Find the specific thing that's on the mind of the customer, the prospect, and then deliver that information.
That's a very good analogy. There's I don't know if it's one we talked about, but Sandler has another rule that fits with that, and that is that prescription without diagnosis is malpractice.
That's a good one.
And a lot of times salespeople are guilty of malpractice, if that's the definition.
I agree with you. I agree with you. No question about it. And if you left the office today, folks, without the sale, or yesterday, if you were on a sales call and you left that place of business without a contract, without making a sale, ask yourself, we're not saying that you did commit malpractice, because maybe there was nothing anyone could do. But ask yourself if you committed malpractice, sales malpractice, which would be not applying good sales fundamentals and principles, right?
Absolutely. Let me give you one quick example, Jim.
Okay.
In the classroom, I ask folks to tell me how they buy a simple commodity like paper towels.
Mm-hmm.
And people say some do it by price, some do it by unit price, some do it with colors, absorbency, roll size, number of rolls in a package. We end up with a dozen different selection criteria that people use on paper towels. Not any one person, obviously, but the marketplace as a whole. And then I said, if I were selling you paper towels and I was telling you about color, design, roll size, and absorbency, and you were interested in unit price, you would have stopped this.
That's exactly right. You've got to find out what's motivating your prospect or customer. We're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back, Jack. And also what we're going to talk about, folks, is when is a professional like a dummy? When should a professional be like a dummy? Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jack Harbour is our special guest and our friend. He's part of the Sandler Training Institute. Jack, you want to take a half a minute and tell us a little bit about how you're involved, how you're associated with Sandler?
Sure. Sandler Systems Incorporated is a franchise in Baltimore, and there are about 180 people like me around the country who are franchisees. My company is called Sandler Training Institute. We try and leverage the Sandler name.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandler supplies the materials and the ideas, and we supply the in McDonald's terms, they supply the meat and the shakes, and we serve it.
And about a month ago or so, you were on the show and you talked to us about how to decide if you want to if you're thinking of acquiring a service related franchise,
mm-hmm.
how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that visit, and I appreciate the time that you gave us and the insight that you gave us. I'm sure that helped a lot of folks. But right now we're talking about sales training and how to do a better job when you go out and knock on the door to try to get business from your customers and prospects. And what you had just said, Jack, just before we took the break, was that if we were talking about malpractice and we're talking about the fact that you might be telling your customer all the reasons why they should buy, but it might not be any of the reasons why they think they should buy.
Absolutely.
And that's malpractice, isn't it?
Well, because the reasons will vary from person to person. Some people like, in the paper towel analogy, as I said, the absorbency, and some people like the color.
Yeah. Well, another thing that happens that I think is part of the malpractice analogy is if you go in there and you just run your mouth and talk about all the things that you want to talk about, and I'm not talking about telling them a joke or getting to know them or talking about the ball game or whatever they want to talk about, you know, the little niceties that you almost always do
Sure.
when you make a sales call. But if you're running your mouth about what you have on your mind, your agenda for the day, if you do that first, then I think that's malpractice because you're wasting their time.
Because you'd be very lucky if it also happened to be their agenda.
It's just absolute dumb luck if it happens because you know, you could cut things a lot shorter. You could get the sale done, and you know, I'll tell you something else. In this day and time, the customer may be saying, okay, I guess I'll listen to this because I am going to buy what they have to sell, what this person has to sell. I'll just have to get through all this, you know, his sales pitch or her sales pitch. And you know what might happen? Before they actually get around to saying, I'll take one of these things that you have, the phone rings or some interruption happens, you may get interrupted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and then they forget or you have to start over.
Let's talk about something that you call when a professional should be like a dummy. When should a professional be like a dummy?
Well, this relates a little bit to the don't spill your candy in the lobby or don't back the dump truck up onto
yeah.
the table. When I first, didn't get into sales, but I got into sales several years ago in an industry called artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 times out of 10, the people on the other side of the desk knew more about it than I did.
Mm-hmm.
So when they would ask me a technical question, I would have to say, good question. Do you mind if I ask, what about that capability do you need in your application?
Uh-huh.
And it was not because I was being smart. It's because it's the only choice I had at that time.
Right, because you were a dummy.
That's right.
At that moment, and folks, I'm not being disparaging of Jack.
No.
He was just starting out in the industry.
I was. And then they did, like you suggested, took me to training, and I learned all there was to know and all the paradigms and everything else. And now they asked me that question, and I would proceed to spend the next 10 to 15 minutes talking about all the great things we did and how we did it.
And how smart you were now.
Absolutely, and I felt good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
The prospect may not have, but I certainly did feel good.
Boy, how many times have, and folks, you've seen this, you've observed this, you've either been a victim of it or you've been a witness to it, where the salesperson just ran their mouth, just would not stop talking about all to make sure that everybody in the room was fully convinced how smart they were.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That's not only malpractice. That's a straight path to failure, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well, the Sandler analogy is we should look like a professional should look like a dummy on purpose.
Yeah.
He knows the answers, but knows when to use them also, or she knows the answers.
Absolutely.
And so, if a prospect would say to you, Jim, what makes your service better? The answer is, you know, I'm really not sure that it is better for everybody. Can I ask you how you define better?
Exactly. Good point. And we're going to talk about that some more when we come back. We're also going to talk about seagulls. That's right. We're going to talk about seagulls when we come back, folks. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And you think about how salesmanship and seagulls have anything in common while we take this break. Stand by. All right, we're back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and you're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with the maximum opportunity to be successful. And Jack Harbor is our special guest, and he's helping me do that. We're talking about salesmanship and how to do a better job in your sales activity. And Jack, before we leave the professional should act like a dummy point and move on into seagulls, I want to just to make one point. And whenever I'm doing sales training, I ask my people, who has the information that you need? Here's the salesman and here's the salesperson and here's the customer in the room together. Who in that room has the information that will allow that salesperson to be successful? And you know, sometimes people have to think about that for a minute, but obviously the answer is the customer, mm-hmm. the prospect has the information in their head that will allow you to be successful. You don't have that. If you already had all you needed to know to be successful, you wouldn't even have to call on the customer, right?
That's true.
So the only way to get the information out of their head into your head, you know, out on the table so you can talk about it, is if they are talking.
Absolutely. A variation on that theme that I hadn't used that who has the information, but I will. I'll borrow that from you, Jim.
Oh, wait a minute. That's part of my franchise, Jack.
Okay. Well, I'll trade you part of mine.
Okay.
I ask my clients if their value to their prospect is in proportion to how much they know about the prospect or mm-hmm. how much the prospect knows about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that their value is in direct proportion to how much they know about their prospect.
That's right.
And so any minute they spend talking, they're not adding to their value.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And let's move on down and talk about seagulls.
Okay.
What do you mean when you talk about seagulls? You say don't put the seagulls in your prospect's picture.
A quick little story that goes with that to explain the seagulls, and that is a little girl, third or fourth grade, painting a beach scene. The teacher with her master's degree comes along and says, beautiful picture, Nancy. And what would make it even better and balanced is if you put a little seagull up in this upper left-hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher did what she thought was a favor and painted the seagull in. Nancy went crying home, depressed, ripped up the picture. Dad, like a good dad, put it all back together again and looked at it and said, what a gorgeous picture. What's the problem? And she said she didn't like the seagull. And the dad asked why. And she says, because I didn't see it there. And sometimes we put things into our prospect's picture that they didn't see there.
Even though it's hard for us to imagine that that wouldn't be part of the equation.
That's absolutely
That wouldn't be part of what they're thinking about.
Absolutely true. We the one easy example that I have that a client of mine discovered that on his own and finally understood the seagull story. He's a home remodeler, and he had this prospective client all but signing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the conclusion, he said, and oh, by the way, all our lead carpenters have radios in their trucks, so you can get them anytime you need them.
Mm-hmm.
And that killed the deal, because although he didn't find out till afterwards, the couple said, thank you very much, we'll call you back. And when he didn't get the deal, he asked why, and they said, well, because until this point, we get to talk to the owner of the company.
Mm-hmm.
When you start putting people in our house, I guess we don't get to talk to you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oversold, didn't he?
Yep. One statement too much. One seagull that didn't need to be there.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's one lesson that you learn early on, hopefully. You should learn it early on, and that is whenever the customer says, I'll take it, shut up.
Absolutely.
Shut up and get the contract. We're going.
Anything after that they need to know, they can find out after they sign.
After they sign and maybe after they give you a deposit, right?
Right. David used to say it's not a sale till you have a check, you take it to the bank.
And it clears.
And it clears.
Yeah. I agree. Well, you know, this seagull thing is very interesting. I can remember going on sales calls when that's what I did all day long, is I represented a company in the marketplace. And, you know, on the days that I would do a really good job, I'd go in and I'd say, John, what's on your mind?
Yep.
And even though I was the one that was making the call, and it was my agenda, so to speak, I was the person who called on him, and I'd say, John, what's going on? And he would say, well, you know what? I really don't have what you're doing, what you have to sell on my mind. I've got this other problem, and to tell you the truth, that's eating my lunch right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'd say, well, what can I do to help you? And he'd say, well, can you do so-and-so? And maybe I would know someone to call, or maybe I would just say, look, sounds like I need to get out of your hair today. I'll come back next week. So even though I didn't sell anything, I helped that customer at that moment to solve a problem which may have been getting me out of the office.
You may have been the problem at that point.
At that moment. And so even though you might say, well, wait a minute, you didn't make a sale, you know what? I couldn't run that customer off after doing something like that.
Well, had you stayed and talked about your product, you wouldn't have made the sale either.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And the next week, when I'd go back, and now, folks, this is a composite example I'm talking about here, but it happened to me more than once. The next week I'd go back, and the guy would say, hey, man, you really helped me out last week. Thank you for understanding that I was under the gun. Now sit down and let's talk about what you got to talk about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's all about making sure that you make the customer successful first. Isn't that the case?
Absolutely. And people aren't bad people. They will be. If you're good to them, they'll be good to you back. Even if you're a salesperson.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, if you're a professional
salesperson. That's true.
Because there's a vast difference between what someone having salesperson or sales representative or executive or whatever, sales executive, whatever on their card, and I've been all of those things, there's a vast difference between that and being a true professional salesperson.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah. Stand by. We've got to take a quick break, folks. It's 39 after the hour. We're going to be right back with Jack Harbor. I am Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And our phone number, if you'd like to give us a call, ask a question, make a comment, 1-888-822-8255. Jack Harbor is our special guest and our friend. His organization is called the Sandler Training Institute. And we're talking about salesmanship. And by the way, Jack, how would someone contact you if they wanted to use your services?
If they want to use my services, it would make most sense if they were in the greater Washington, D.C. area. But I can give that number or an 800 number that I can then give them a name of a local person.
How about both of them?
Okay. If you're in the greater Washington area, the number is 301-590-8700, mm-hmm. extension 11.
All right.
That gets you to my desk.
To your organization, okay.
If you're interested in learning more about Sandler, I have an 800 number. Give me a yell, and I will point you in the right direction.
Okay.
That's 888-307-1919.
Okay. Now, you also have a website.
Yes, www.sandler.com.
Okay.
You can find a lot of Sandler people in there, and you'll find me just by typing in your local zip code if you're in this area.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Now, let's talk about something that you say. You say money does grow on trees.
Yes.
What kind of a tree would that look like?
Well, it's not one that you can go plant in your backyard, unfortunately.
All right.
Or you and I could be retired by now. it's the tree of referrals. A lot of people... I mean, most salespeople will tell you that referrals are their best business.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, for a lot of those people, it's a really reactive environment. It's where somebody calls up and said, "Hi, Jim, this is Jack. George told me to give you a call."
Yeah.
So it's kind of an out-of-the-blue kind of call.
Mm-hmm.
So
those aren't the kind of referrals. That's not as good a referral as the one where Bob calls Jack and says, "So-and-so told me about you, and I want to talk to you about doing business with you."
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that one takes some watering. We need to, if you have good clients, find a way to water them, keep them happy, and they will be much more likely, and you can ask them, as a matter of fact. You know, Jim, I hope you've been happy with the business. I'd like to have a lot more clients like you, and I was hoping you might be able to help me. Maybe you know someone. And those kinds of words are very difficult for a salesperson to ask because they're afraid they're putting pressure on. But
sometimes it is. But there are times in your relationship with that customer that when you shouldn't miss the opportunity to do that. There are times when the customer is very happy with what's going on between the two of you.
Absolutely.
And those are the times when they say something like, "Boy, you saved my life today," or "This really benefited me," or whatever. There are going to be times, if those times don't happen, you're probably not going to keep them as a customer.
Absolutely.
But whenever that happens, you need to take advantage of asking for a referral, don't you?
And think about the time you pointed out earlier when the person you were talking to was busy or had another problem, and you were able to give him a referral to someone who could solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
You probably felt pretty good.
Yep.
And that's true for your clients, too.
No question about it.
When they can help you out, it makes them feel good as well. It's not an imposition on them, unless they're not happy with you to start with.
What you want to happen, Jack, is you want your customers and prospects to see you as a problem solver, and it just so happens that you sell a certain kind of a product or service.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
That's the secondary, absolutely.
Yeah. Whenever, what I want my clients to do is, I think I've achieved this to some degree with my clients, maybe to a great degree, is I want them to call me for anything that they need that they can't solve, whether it's my area of expertise or not. Because what I tell them is when you hire me as a business consultant, it's not my job to know everything that you need to know to solve all your problems, but it's my job to help you solve those problems, help you find someone who can.
Right.
I don't know.
Just had a call last week, or this week. This is Tuesday. Yeah, it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
From a client who said, "Jack, I know you do business with a lot of financial planners. We're looking for a financial planner. Who would you recommend?"
Uh-huh.
Obviously, that's not my business, but they trusted me well enough that they'd call me for my advice on that.
And let me tell you something. That's brand loyalty. That's what the retailers call brand loyalty, isn't it?
Absolutely. and you need to keep watering that tree. And that's the, so you give get a referral from person A to person B, and B gives you a referral then later on to person C. It's like the branches on a tree. I'll go back and thank person A as well, even though he might not even know about it.
Absolutely. There's one other thing that you need to do. Whenever someone gives you a referral, if they say to you, Jack, I was talking to so-and-so the other day, and I think you should call on them. You need to ask a few questions, don't you? You need to say, okay, did my name come up in the conversation? Well, no. So then the person that he's referring you to doesn't even know you exist. Yeah. Or, yes, it did, and I told him that to expect your call. You need to find out how the conversation went, don't you?
Absolutely.
So that you know how to make the call when you do.
Because if the name didn't come up, or it's just it amounts to a cold call for me then.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, stand by, Jack. We're going to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about something Jack calls, if your competition does it, you stop doing it right away. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your business. Jack Harper is our special guest, and he is our friend. We're talking about salesmanship. His organization is called the Sandler Training Institute out of Rockville, Maryland, which is hard by to Gaithersburg, which is where WMET is, one of our greatest stations, resides. And Sandra and Glenn and all the folks down there at WMET do a great job, and I appreciate them. And I sure encourage everyone who's listening in that area to support them and their sponsors. Jack, one of the things we're going to talk about, something that you said to me, is if your competition does it, stop doing it right away. But before we get into that, I want to get into something that is just really important to me, and I really harp on this as much as I can. I just got through telling my audience, thank you for your business.
Absolutely.
That's a big deal, isn't it?
It really is, and we don't say that often enough. And there's another Sandler rule I'll just throw on the table. Your best client is somebody else's best prospect.
Right.
And who's treating them better?
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you, you can't overestimate the importance of saying that. Whenever I have new employees, you know, I tell them, don't say have a nice day. Don't say please come back. Say thank you for your business, or thank you very much. If they just call in and want a free estimate, or they just want to know some information, or whatever reason they did to come into your building or to call into your building, please be sure to say, even if you haven't made the sale, please be sure to say thank you for giving us an opportunity. And you know what? That's becoming a dying art that really upsets me.
I think it's coming back.
How much, when you're a consumer and you buy out there retail somewhere, how often do people say thank you? Not nearly as much as
Not nearly as much, but it's the special stores. It's the, you know, and I don't know if names are okay, it's the Nordstroms of the world that people will go back and spend more money for.
Yep.
For just that kind of personal treatment.
Take a lesson there, small business owners. That's where you can make a difference. There's no question about it. Now, let's talk about if your competition does it, stop doing it right away. What do you mean by that?
If you look and sound like your competition to your prospect,
mm-hmm. What's the difference?
And the prospect likes you both, they may end up making the decision on who's cheaper.
They will. They're no mate to it. They will.
So you need to do something that looks and sounds and feels different than your competitors. The best analogy I can give is from Jump Street. You walk into someone's office. Every salesperson who walks into my office has been trained to notice something on the wall and comment on it as a way to build rapport. And the 47th time that somebody comments on my picture on my wall of Ernie Banks, I know they're not doing it because they like baseball or Ernie Banks. They're doing
right.
it to try and build rapport.
That's right.
And so they may actually lose ground doing that. So you need to find other ways to get the conversation started, to build rapport. If you have...
Of course, now wait a minute, Jack. If you've got a 6-foot... a life-size picture of Ernie Banks on your wall, I mean, you got to give him a little bit of a break there, you know. If you walk into a guy's office and there are stuffed ducks all over the room, you know,
true.
I mean, that's remarkable.
That's true. If it is really...
I've run into situations like that.
If it is really remarkable, that's true. but, Mike, for example, I am really not a baseball fan. I'm an Ernie Banks fan.
Ah.
Because Ernie Banks played... the same reason Cal Ripken did. He loved the game.
Yep.
He gave his all to it. He wasn't paid a lot of money.
I saw Ernie Banks play a lot.
And so I like to make my life that way. I want to do it because I enjoy it, not because it's a job.
Jack, that's got to be the last word. I got to wrap it up for this
hour.
We'll do this again next month. I've enjoyed this.
Super. Thank you.
See ya. Jack Harbor, ladies and gentlemen. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before we go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. Remember today, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.